You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
The party is here! And the party is here!
Sounds like a party to me.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah, go!
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 524 for the week of August 19th, 2024. I am chat icon and future bad tattoo, David T. Cole, and I'm here with solid second place, Sarah D. Bunting.
That's trifling, Danny.
Square peg in a round house, Tara Ariano.
I just don't fit.
And underground hideout dweller, Carrie Race.
What happens in this hideout stays in the hideout.
Welcome to Extra Hot Great. Joining us, she is a podcast host. She's a DJ. She's an 80s music fan. She may have another job. It's not your business. You've heard her with us before. It's Carrie Race.
Hello, Carrie.
Yeah! Carrie.
Thank you for having me.
We're thrilled to have you here for this. We're talking about The Anonymous on USA, in which 12 contestants have assembled at the Roundhouse. For some reason, USA is being really cute about where this is. It's in Spain. They're playing a two-part game. When they are all together, they participate in challenges to add money to the pot. One of them will eventually win up to a possible $100,000. They also hang out and get to know each other. But at specific times, they split up, get into segregated pods, and chat online with each other in the guise of an avatar such as fish, popcorn, or truck. And this is where they discuss who should be marked for elimination and why. This is also the mode where their knowledge of one another's online avatars is tested. The player who is identified by the fewest other contestants gets to be the anonymous for the day and select which of the marked players gets voted out. The show comes from Studio Lambert, which also brought us The Traitors and The Circle. By the time you hear this, the first three episodes will have aired. That's all we were given. We may talk about plot details from any of those. Let's do the Chen check-in. Carrie, should our listeners watch The Anonymous?
This is not for me. I don't hate it if it's for you.
Sarah?
Sure.
Okay, Dave?
I judge you for watching it. Also, when you wake up in the morning, do you say to yourself, today, am I going to be a fish? Am I going to be a popcorn? Or am I going to be a truck? Today, I'm a truck.
Those are the three genders. Uh-huh. I'm going to say, yeah, if you like The Traitors or The Circle or Big Brother, like this is just another remix of that. So let's get into it. I guess what's supposed to distinguish this show from the other ones is that it very, very closely resembles is the online-offline conceit. Is the intended audience for the show the last four Americans who don't have firsthand experience with people wilding out on the internet when they think no one knows who they are, Carrie?
I mean, I don't know who this is for. Uh-huh. I felt like I got dumber the longer I watched it.
Yeah, yes.
Sure, like, yeah. I couldn't figure out like what the point of it was. And I know that's really stupid to try to assign some kind of like larger thing to this reality show. But at the same time, I'm like, trying to figure out, okay, but what is smart gameplay in this game? And could never sort of get my finger on what it was, especially since no one on the show ever expresses any like tactical ideas except for maybe like one or two players like mm-hmm. every once in a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like a really stupid game of werewolf or mafia or whatever.
Yes, it is.
It's like really dumb people.
Or the
people.
Mole. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, as the saying goes, I have anonymous online trolls at home. Sarah, it felt like kitty shit to you as well.
Kind of. I just don't understand why this is on
like terrestrial television. Mm. It's structured like it's on a streamer. It was clearly intended for a streamer. Like, I'm not sure why Peacock pretended it didn't know The Anonymous and forced it to go to USA, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Mm. If you do watch it, I would just let it stack up on the DVR or wait for it to come to Peacock and just watch it all in a chunk so that you can skip over a lot of the times where they're standing around like, you know, you are the weakest link, goodbye. It's pretty well done for what it is, but what it is also very predictable in where there's dead air and repeating what just happened in the previous act and that one contestant who is just at a timbre that is like painful to the ear and the ability to skip over a lot of that stuff is key. But if you can do that, like there are some moments in it that I like chuckled at it. Like there's a contestant, Marcel, who is just like sort of disgusted with the whole thing and called whoever is playing as the donut a sprinkly bastard, which I just like laughed and laughed because I'm a simple old lady with no inner life. So, I mean, it has things to recommend it, but you have to find a way to hack it back to its like intended form as a streaming property. So that's my advice.
But I assume it's going to be streaming on Peacock too, because they're all under the same, you know, NBC Universal umbrella.
Right.
This show also does the thing, and I assume this is what you mean when you say let them stack up, which is the thing we yelled about when we watched that episode of The Traitors for the Canon recently, which is you can't make the elimination a cliffhanger. Like, this is reality show 101. You eliminate a person in every episode or else, what are we doing? Carrie, did that bother you as well?
Yeah, it did, and it's the only reason why. So I watched two episodes, and then I watched, like, 1 minute of the next episode.
Exactly what I did. Yep, same.
Was eliminated and then was like, all right, I'm out. I totally agree with Sarah that this should be a streaming show. It should be a streaming show that drops all at once. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you that, like, I still have terrestrial TV. We have DirecTV in our house, but I legitimately was like, USA is still a going concern.
That's what I thought when I got the screeners. I was like, I did not know they were making original TV. Oh my God, it's not on Peacock. It's on the USA app that also still exists.
Oh my gosh.
And no kidding, Fubo.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, what are we doing?
The food.
Why does USA still have its own app? Anyway, sorry, continue.
I don't know. Yeah, I kept seeing articles for it too. And one was like teasing this special event on USA. So I actually went on my guide last night, and starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, they showed three different episodes. I was like, this show is like, I mean, they are not doing anything to help this show out at all.
No. Mm-mm. No, we can't care more about your stupid show than you do. All right, let's very briefly talk about some of the contestants, because a few have an advantage. We have Nina, who lets us know she is the daughter of Sandra Diaz Twine. Sandra Diaz Twine is a Survivor legend. She won twice, I think. Nina herself has been a two-time contestant on Australian Survivor, although she did not win either time. Xavier is a Big Brother winner. Robbie's a professional poker player. Jack is a national board game champion. He seems to be the only one that has any kind of strategy, although that strategy seems to be kind of in a bullying way, target Andy, the guy from the Fire Festival doc who said he would suck a custom guy's dick for a case of Epion, and has apparently made that his entire identity. And then Marcel, who Sarah mentioned, who's a video game streamer. So I don't really get why Jack has like such a hard-on against Andy, other than that Andy keeps bringing up his like memification, and that's sort of annoying. But anyway, Carrie, your thoughts on Andy, since he was like the best known person on the show, I would say.
I have managed to avoid sort of any deep understanding of what the Fire Festival even was. I never watched any of those documentaries.
I want to go on record as saying I want everyone to suck as much dick as they want.
Sure.
But, you know, the fact that he has chosen to make this his entire personality is upsetting. Like, to the point where, like, when he, someone, like, recognizes him and goes, oh, yeah, you're that guy, he makes, like, a blowjob motion. And I was like, give me a break. You are a 60-plus-year-old man, I am assuming, and this is not a proper way for you to act.
It's not dignified. Sarah, your thoughts on Andy?
If you're going to have a personality TM that you leverage into income, that you may as well. I watched everything Fyre Festival and loved it, because I love cons and shit like that, but I didn't remember. He looked familiar to me, but I mean, the Fyre Festival documentaries were what, 2020, 2021?
2019, because I remember watching them in our last house.
Yeah, like, if it happened in the before time, it might as well have been 20 years ago. Like, I don't remember things from then. I thought that they had a good proportion of people that you might know if you watch a lot of competition reality, and just, you know, randos, civilians. I thought that was a good blend. The contestants were, like, on balance, there was a slightly higher median IQ than usual. Andy wasn't especially bothersome to me. Jack's, quote, strategy is, like, I think the fact that he has a strategy is the only thing really setting him apart. And if anyone else were really playing for anything except the opportunity to become an influencer for money after the game, then they might have a pretty good shot at beating him. But this is just standard. This is who you get now for these shows.
No, it's true. I know Christopher's not getting any influencer money from eating with your mouth closed concerns, because Dave noticed that and then it was all I could see.
Really?
Oh my God.
Just if you're in your 20s and you can't chew with your mouth closed, just you got to rewind and think about what happened, guys.
Yeah. The other thing that is worth mentioning, I guess, is that there's also a digital anonymous networking interface called Danny. And the conceit is that she's an AI, and at least one contestant, Dylan, is like, we keep having to see him like chortle about how shady Danny is, which is like, this is the technology they use for like the talking garbage cans at Disneyland. Like, it's not an AI. It's a person like watching what's happening.
Yeah. It's especially telling because all the Danny punch up gotcha lines are obviously added far, far into post. They're like a series of, oh, yeah, well, the jerk store called, they're all out of you, except nothing happens in real time. You don't get genuine reactions from the people that she's supposed to be saying it to. So I enjoyed that part of it, which is like they can't even hire like an improv Don Rickles type to zing them in the moment. They actually have to do it all in post.
Yeah. And they've already done this on Big Brother 2 years ago. They have Zingbot is like a recurring feature on that show. Something I know, even though I don't watch it, like that's how long it's been going on. Anyway.
Zingbot?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
And its purpose is to make fun of people on the show? During the show?
Yeah, let me look it up now.
That's okay.
Anyway, this is 10 minutes of show in a 90-minute bag. We've already talked about it more than it deserves.
Agreed. Surprise! Second 50 minutes all about the anonymous. Here we go. No. Around the dial time. First stop, Tara.
Hello. If you have the capability of flying to New Zealand or the capability of getting on YouTube and putting in episode titles and seasons, you can watch the fifth season of Taskmaster NZ, which started earlier this month. For some reason, they're burning episodes off 2 a week. So we've seen the first 4. Here are my early impressions of the new contestants. And Carrie, I know you've been watching this season too, so chime in. First, we'll just go in seating order. Abby Howells, my early favorite to win the season, not just because, as she said in the premiere and has said since, she has autism. I do think that helps. And Fern Brady, who also has autism, has said that too. In the 4th episode, there's a task where they have to put a bunch of seemingly unrelated items in order. And the first 2 people that we see try it have no idea what the pattern is and they fuck it up. And I said to Dave, if the player who has autism doesn't get this, it can't be gotten. And spoiler, she did. She also consistently has the best shoes. This is something that came into play in the live task in the premiere. Carrie, anything else, more to say about Abby?
Yeah, I was going to say there's always one contestant in the lineup where I covet their outfits, and it's Abby this year for sure.
Very well dressed. Next to her, Ben Hurley. I won't spoil it. He does something in a task in the first week he later calls the greatest moment of his life, and not knowing anything else about his life, I agree that it is. It was truly impressive. He also gets a secret task ahead of the first team task, and what he does with it is extremely endearing and made me like him more. Carrie.
Yeah, I like him just fine, but he so far has not done much besides the thing that you're mentioning to like break out of the old white guy mold that usually follows those kinds of contestants.
Yes. Haley Spruill. I forget where I saw someone call her the horniest contestant we've seen since Sally Phillips on the British show, but somewhat accurate. She's the one I would most want to hang out with, which doesn't get her anything in the game. But if she hears this, I hope she's psyched. They also had a runner in the most recent episode where Paul kept sneezing and saying it was because he was allergic to her bullshit. And I thought that was very funny.
I do find it very endearing when Paul has like a personal relationship with the contestants and sort of exploits it in that way. So that's a great fit.
Exception, his brother, who sucks.
Yeah.
Tofiga Fepalui, sorry. My least favorite kind of player is the kind who doesn't try. He also wasn't available to shoot the studio segment, so we're told they got fan favorite players from past seasons, and I refuse to believe Matt Heath is any fan's favorite. Sorry.
Yeah, it's real bummer that he's not in the studio at all. It just doesn't, it feels like the season is like off kilter because of it.
I agree. Yeah. Tom Sainsbury, congrats to him on being the only contestant I've ever seen before in my life. He has or had a secondary role as Officer Parker in Wellington Paranormal. Seems to have become the season's designated victim, so when he excels, it's nice.
Yeah, he just completely, I have nothing to say about him.
I'm kind of disappointed they're chewing through the season so fast, but I believe the next season of Australia is imminent, plus the Taskmaster Junior season is coming any minute now. They've also finished the next season of Taskmaster Regular British, so there's lots of Taskmaster to come, and I guess that's fine. For my plug, I'm going to mention the Patreon for our sister podcast, Listen to Sassy. This is where you can get full issue scans for every single issue that we talk about. This is something you can't find anywhere else on the goddamn internet, because trust me, I looked at various times in my life. So that's well worth your $5 if you're of a certain age or just wish you were. So listentosassy.com/club for that perk and so very many more. We'd love to have you there.
All right, Carrie, what have you been watching recently?
All right. I have also been traveling lately. I flew to Australia to watch Guy Montgomery's Guy Mont Spelling Bee. And thank you to Tara for that setup, because if you know Guy Montgomery, it's probably from Taskmaster NZ Season 2, Series 2, excuse me. So this show is, I mean, it's very straightforward and easy to explain, but also not. It is a spelling bee where Guy Montgomery has collected comedians to participate in various spelling tasks. It originated in New Zealand. Well, actually, excuse me, it originated online during the pandemic with Guy Montgomery doing this over Zoom with various comedian friends. And then he sold the show to New Zealand. It aired in February of 2023, and now he has sold it to Australia, and the newest season, or the first season of Australia, started last week, but also they dropped all 8 episodes onto their online platform, so you can see them all. I've watched most of them at this point. There are so many funny things about this in terms of it's got 70s game show set decoration. Guy Montgomery is basically the live action Guy Smiley from the Muppets. He's playing that to perfection. And I just want to describe one of the events that happens later in the season to kind of give you a taste of what you're faced with. One of the segments is called Mystery Box, where the contestants have to put their hands in a box to feel something in front of them that they cannot see. And Guy says that they have to identify and spell their item. And to assist them, you may ask, the feeling, the thing you're feeling makes me feel. So the first item is a Russian doll that someone feels. And when they ask for the feeling that it gives Guy, he says, like I am young boy again. So this is the caliber that we're working with. It's very stupid, but also just there's something about it that just really tickles me. If you were a fan of the New Zealand version, I have to tell you that the Australian version is even better, probably because the assistant is this time around is a comedian I was not familiar with called Aaron Chen, who is just, I mean, the star of the show and is apparently going to be on the third season of Taskmaster Australia. So I'm very excited for that. And if you like it and the 8 episodes of Australia are not enough for you, guess what? Season 2 of New Zealand premieres this week. Hey. And so you've got plenty to discover.
I would say if you listen to all that and you're still thinking, I don't want to watch a show about a spelling bee, it's not really about a spelling bee. No, like we watched it. It's a panel show that kind of revolves around some letters. And even some of the games they play don't involve spelling at all, if my memory serves correctly from watching the very first season of the show. But it is pretty funny. If you enjoy Taskmaster, you will definitely find something to like with this one, too.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to plug for our dear listeners?
Yes. So my podcast called Hey, Remember the 80s, which is about 80s music, is on hiatus currently. But you can hear me talk about 80s music every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday on Charlie's 80s Attic. That's an online radio station. We've got over 7,500 songs in our playlist at this point. So we are not serious XM 80s on 8. We are playing all the hits of the 80s and all the not hits of the 80s. So tune in and find me there.
Thanks.
Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Homicide Life on the Street has finally hit streaming. It is also on Peacock. Definitely a better bet than racking up a bunch of The Anonymous. I just dived right in with the first season, even though I've owned it on DVD for years now, hoping it would live up to my memories because it had been a while. It did live up to expectations for me, but I just wanted to take a second here and manage expectations for folks who were not regular Homicide viewers or have heard critics celebrating the show's arrival on streaming and are really expecting a top 10 all-time show that presses your pants. It isn't that. It's a Barry Levinson joint, so you have a lot of diner-esque Sinatra Mathis-type conversations that kind of don't go anywhere except into the like end of the season about like Lincoln assassination crackpottery. It's a Tom Fontana joint, so you have a lot of weirdly invasive close-ups of characters that you sense you're supposed to, quote, side with, but who are kind of dicks. It's a Belzer cinematic universe joint, so Munch's sex life is a thing that you're confronted with frequently. It's not a perfect show, is my point. I like that about it. I like that the cops look and dress like actual people. That Andre Brower's Pembleton is a pill a lot of the time, especially at first. That's not what everyone's watching a procedural for. Kyle Seeker's Tim Bayless is exhausting. That's a feature, not a bug. Not everyone can hang. I get that too. But if you want to see a lot of vintage Law & Order / Oz / Sopranos people, if you want a show that doesn't apologize for itself or its characters and feels really organic and also not all that dated because of that, even when it's taking a lengthy sidebar to debate whether Gwen Verdon's character should have shoved her husband down the cellar stairs. There's really nothing else like it, but you're allowed not to like it. Not everyone did. That's why it was a cult show that they kept moving around on the schedule. So I just want to say, like, give it a try. Alan Sepinwall at Rolling Stone, our esteemed colleague, wrote up a whole list of episodes that you should start with. Definitely a good rubric. You'll know 2 episodes in if you like it or not. Speaking of procedurals not everyone could tolerate, Law & Order Criminal Intent. James Vanderbeek played a coked-up tech bro of sorts in the series finale, which we are talking about on Again With This, the Patreon-only extra pod of our sister podcast, Again With This.
That's a couple weeks away, but if you sign up now, you will get literally hundreds, plural, of extra episodes to while away your Labor Day travel. That's at againwiththispodcast.com/club for more information and to join us.
And that will press your pants.
Fucking A.
Coming up this Friday on Extra, Extra Hot. Great. It is the Forceting Pool time. Beep, 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 beep. And we're watching a cartoon called David the Gnome. And I skimmed through this. Haven't watched it in full yet. But what I saw was fucked up. So I think we're going to have some fun with that one. That is available to club members. Please go to extrahotgreat.com/club to learn and join. And then, speaking about joining, come back here next week for Extra Hot Great Primes, Dan Curtis's Dracula. Move right over, Bram. Here comes Dan. We're talking about Dan Curtis's Dracula. What's that? It's something from the distant past. There's not a lot of happening on TV. So we're going a little retro next week with Nick Reinwell Jones joining us for that one. And of course, as always, blah.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
It is time for the Extra Hot Great Canon, presenting this week our number one canon submitter, Tara Ariano.
Hi. The original British version of Would I Lie to You is a series I've always enjoyed, but never particularly thought of as potential canon material. That all changed earlier this year when I saw Season 7, Episode 9. First, a brief explanation, even though we discussed the American adaptation of the format when it came to the CW in 2022. I thought it was last year, but as Sarah said, time has no meaning. It is a game, but in the classic British panel show sense where the stakes are entirely non-existent, permanent fixtures are host Rob Brydon and team leaders David Mitchell and Lee Mack. In each episode, the teams are filled out with two celebrity guests on either side. Most of the game involves players being called upon to read a statement on a card at their seat, which we're told they've never seen before, but is generally outlandish, out of character, or otherwise difficult to believe. Members of the opposing team ask them questions to determine whether the statement is true or a lie, earning a point for each correct guess when the answer is revealed. At the end, Rob tells us which team has won, but it's an absolute afterthought. The fun comes from the process, and for the viewer at home, making our own guesses and being smug when we're right. With that in mind, we're obviously going to spoil the whole episode, so if you want to watch it first, we linked it in the show notes. Here's what makes Season 17, Episode 9 an extraordinarily good example of Would I Lie to You? Number one, it subverts our expectations of Lee. Lee Mack is a comic actor. Since 2006, he has starred in Not Going Out, the second longest running British sitcom of all time after Last of the Summer Wine. It is true that a lot of Lee's chime-ins are dad jokes, but he's got the fastest mind for dad jokes in comedy today, and that's not nothing. For example, when guest Sam Campbell describes his part in promoting a lice comb as a child, clip one.
Was it like one of them shopping channels?
Weirdly, I think it was on the news. It was at the end of the news, they'd be like, and now we've got this comb.
So it's on the news?
Yeah.
I thought you said it was an advert.
Here are the headlice. Yeah.
Having co-headlined Would I Lie to You since its premiere in 2007, Lee does have some recurring bits too. clip two.
Whose ring did you put on, Charlene?
Lorraine Kelly's. Lorraine's.
And why did you do that?
Well, she'd been a guest on Loose, and she mentioned her husband and talk about relationships and stuff. And...
Sorry, Charlene, when you say Loose, loose women, right?
Sorry, Loose women.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Wood.
Which is Rob's favourite chat line.
The proof that the Rob Brydon chat up line gag has reached icon status is how excited guest Will Mellor gets about being present to hear one. The middle segment of the show is called This Is My. A person is brought out to stand near one of the teams, and each member is given a statement describing their relationship to them, only one of which is truthful. Because Lee is so quick and such a great improviser, he is usually given the most ridiculous statements, such as, this is Charlotte, and she's my judo instructor, and she told me off recently when she caught me having a pint in my judo kit just before a tournament. As team leader, Lee also goes last in the interrogation of a statement and rarely seems like he's trying particularly hard to convince anyone he's telling the truth, because at this late date, everyone knows the team leader isn't ever given a true statement anymore because all their most plausibly implausible stories have already been mined. So it's pretty funny when Michael comes out and Lee announces that he's a master watchmaker and Lee his apprentice. Then, under questioning, it starts to get serious. Clip three. Yeah.
What was the complication?
It was
a problem.
It was a date.
And yet the complication was what? Mending the bit that told the date.
Oh, you heathen. The complication is the date. That's what you call something on a watch that isn't the hour or minute.
Oh, the complication. Yes, I think that's right. I think when a watch has more than one feature, then I think they're called complications.
Well, there you go.
If it had the day and the date, it would have two complications. So what's the problem with the watch?
Nothing wrong with the watch. I just bought a watch to see what it'd be like to take it apart and put it back together again.
Right.
Big cogs?
Big cogs.
Big cogs.
Oh, big cogs I really like doing it.
No. Cogs. Have you got big cogs in your watch?
They tend to call them wheels in watches rather than cogs.
That's another thing he's given us.
Yeah. Wheels and complications.
Soon it's time to vote, and David seems tortured. Clip four.
You think it's Lee?
Yeah.
Can
you picture him in his shed with an eyepiece? Oh.
Yes. The thing is about Lee, that he's obsessive. Like, he could really get into something like that.
Oh, God. You hide under his bed one day and you get this for the rest of your life.
David, you have to step up.
Come on, David. Decide.
Lee.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Saying it's Lee.
Yeah.
Well, this is unprecedented.
Wow.
Michael, would you please reveal your true identity?
I'm Michael. I've been teaching Lee what.
If you're not a regular viewer, you wouldn't necessarily know the gasps and cheers from the audience and team are much more raucous than we are used to. Rob says it himself, this is unprecedented, and David and his team are clearly really excited to have made such an improbable guess and seen it pay off. A moment like this could only come late in the show's run, when the audience can be thrilled by a surprise like this, and also David can use his decade and a half's worth of knowledge about his co-star to have been slightly less surprised, but honestly, only slightly. Number two, it shatters our expectations of David. During Quickfire Lies, David claims that he's started holding a tambourine when he's watching TV so that when he falls asleep and drops it, the sound will wake him up. Lee's image on the show is of a salt-of-the-earth northerner. David's is of an out-of-touch posho, as we're reminded during this discussion. Clip five.
At what time of evening are you and Victoria settling down together?
Well, 8... 8:30.
You're falling asleep at 8 o'clock?
No. Maybe we might eat some food.
A TV dinner on your lap?
Yep.
Sometimes. Oh, you don't strike me as a TV dinner.
I don't know, absolutely not.
Oh, no, it's... Sorry, no. Obviously, Monday to Thursday, it's in the baronial hall.
Now that their time together in the episode is almost over, guest Sam Campbell has collected sufficient evidence about David to say he doesn't believe this guy would ever have contact with a tambourine. Rob happens to have one at his seat, which he passes down to David. I can only share the audio of what transpires, but here it is, clip six.
Can I just say, I think you're watching these, Oilin.
When I do this, I can't hear Lee.
That's quite frightening. What are you going to say then? Stop now, David. Stop. Time to stop. stop. Time to put down the tambourine. No more tambourine.
Put it down!
So this only gets you about 30% of the way to understanding how funny it is to watch David Mitchell, a huge nerd who knows an inordinate amount about, for instance, medieval castle architecture, going absolutely the fuck off with this tambourine. But trust me, even though I know comic actors have to be uninhibited, and I have certainly seen him do wild shit on Peep Show and that Mitchell and Webb look, I still never thought he had this kind of tambourining in him until I saw it. Number three, none of the guests is a dud. The experience of watching Would I Lie to You as a non-Briton is to meet guests you've never seen before in any other context and form an immediate impression of them. Sometimes that impression is good, as with Claudia Winkleman, whose Would I Lie to You appearances well predate her time hosting The Traitors. But since the show pulls in personalities from daytime soap operas, reality TV, pop music, and sports, a lot of them are terrible in this context. They're too dumb to keep up with the jokes, and since they have no talent for improvisation, there's no mystery as to whether they're lying or not. Rob, David, and Lee are good enough at this point that they, along with whatever comic guests might be on a given episode, with a true zero, can keep the episode buoyant despite a leaden guest. But all the guests in this episode range from fine to great. Kimberly Walsh is a pop star turned TV presenter. Charlene White is a host on Loose Women, as we already heard, Britain's version of The View. Neither of them stunned me with their wit, but they know how to be personable and chatty without humiliating themselves. I've already mentioned Will Mellor, who is a tier above both female guests. He's a pro on the ballroom dance competition Strictly Come Dancing and kicks things off by claiming he once had a job dancing in a shop window. Toward the end of the questioning, Rob asks Will to give a demonstration of the kind of dancing he would do, and Will is perfectly game to do it. Not all guests are. He also seems to be a fan based on his reaction to the chat-up line joke I mentioned earlier, and he readily chops it up with the permanent cast members. He's good at picking his spots, and not all guests are good at that either. Finally, number four, one of the guests is Sam Campbell. By the time Sam popped up in this episode, he was coming off season 16 of Taskmaster, where he became an instant favorite in our household. I won't go so far as to suggest he's deliberately acting spacey for most of his appearance, but his questions seem like non sequiturs. For example, asking Will what floor of the building he danced in and Kimberly whether being in a pop group is a roller coaster. When we arrive at This Is My, Sam claims Michael is a cab driver who made him late by stopping to play the trumpet. He is vague about where he was when this happened, and David and Will go in for the kill. Clip 7.
How had you found this black cab?
In the city.
Hang on! Before he said we were in the suburbs.
I didn't say the suburbs.
Yeah, did. You said yeah. I was in the suburbs
this
somewhere.
Is where, now I see where you get this confusion, and I forgive you. That's where the exhibition was. It was out of the way.
I totally understand that you don't know the geography of these places because obviously none of this really happened. Where are you saying you were when you got this black taxi?
I was in, like, the city, you know, around that area, the pigeons, big buildings, the city. Businessmen.
Businessmen. How had you got to the businessmen, pigeons, bit of London? Is that where you are saying you live?
On my own street, where I live?
Yes.
36.
Don't give your address.
Why not?
I just wouldn't.
This is Soho we're talking.
Soho.
Oh,
there we go.
Now you're in Soho. Oh, right.
I'm sorry to shock you there, but they are not businessmen.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's a form of commerce. Now,
David hesitates when it's time to vote. Clip 8.
I don't know Sam well enough to know whether he'd be a good enough liar to seem so implausible about the truth.
We could have dinner.
Sam closes things out in quickfire lies with a claim that he was once a body double for a head lice ad. The premise is that one kid showed his face, but Sam had lice, so the camera shot the back of his head to demonstrate how the Knit Busters comb worked. Everyone soon gets hung up on historical data and the particulars of how the segment was shot. Clip 9.
When was this?
I was pretty young at the time. 10 or 11.
When was that?
When I was in primary school.
Yeah, when?
We realised that. We're trying to ascertain the year.
A year of.
Maybe year 6, I guess. I was much younger.
You haven't seen what you had to do in this advert or this appearance.
So I just was the back. You know, like any time you see someone's hands in a movie, that's not really their hands.
That's not true. What you mean is sometimes when you see someone's hand.
I think every time.
Not every time. Sometimes when they scratch their face, that's their hand. If you see Tom Cruise scratching his face, there's not someone going...
Cruise has got a scratcher. Cruise has got a scratcher.
David should be an expert at this by now, but he is flummoxed. Clip 10.
You have a disconcerting presence.
No.
So
you say the warmest things to the guest, David.
But there's also something ghostly about you. I wouldn't be surprised if the next recording they said, wasn't it weird that on Lee's team we only had one guest? I said, no, there was another guest, Sam. He was from Australia. And Rob says, there is no such place. But I think we think it's a lie.
They're saying it's a lie. It's a lie. Sam, truth or lie?
It is true. No!
Was he playing possum right up until this point? Who's to say? I hesitate to say, based on a single appearance, that Sam is a would-I-lie-to-you guest on the level of a Bob Mortimer, for example, but I think the two of them would get along. If you don't know what that means, look up some of Bob's clips on YouTube. You can thank me later. Most of the time, Would I Lie to You is a fairly rote affair. The format is well established. The stars are extremely skilled, and even though you enjoy the episode as it washes over you, specific details may not lodge themselves in your brain. As soon as this one ended, I knew it was the one I had to try to get into our canon, and I hope it was as clear to you, after you finished watching, that it was something special.
Thank you, Tara. Carrie, you chose this from the available options. Why don't you start the discussion off?
I did. I think Tara has highlighted what is the nut of this, which is that it's counterintuitive. Usually when you guys talk about the canon, it's like, is this typical of the show? And this is like not typical of the show, but I think what make you have to have an episode like this in series 17 to really make something canon worthy and classic. What she talked about in terms of like, you know, there are like certain defined highlights of the show. You can watch it and sort of just see the same thing over and over again. But when you get something like David Mitchell being completely and utterly confounded by Sam Campbell to the point where he's talking about him being a ghost that has appeared in the show, that's where it really kicks up to another level. Because, you know, there has to be something unique about it after 17 series. The other really great things about it, again, what Tara said about Lee Mack. Usually by the end of an episode, I've had like more than enough of Lee, but like this one, like every time he was on point. There's usually one or two of his, you know, dad jokes or insertions that are groan worthy, but he really, the editors did a good, did him a favor this week, I think, because he was, there was no fat left on the bone. Everything was essential. My favorite thing that Tara had mentioned specifically was the Will Mellor story when he was talking about dancing and they made him get up, which they often do to guests. And it's just silly that they ever pretend like they're not expecting to be put on the spot and be made to dance if they're telling a story about dancing. But he gets up and he does this acting thing kind of where he acts like he's not into it. And then as soon as the dance starts, he goes like full out and it's like really cute. And it really just really made me laugh. I agree. It's hard after one episode to say that Sam Campbell is an all-timer, but there's just something about his chemistry on the panel and specifically with David that just makes this like you just want to watch them. Does David Mitchell have like a show where he takes people camping or something? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I don't.
He does.
Oh, he does? Okay. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I just like immediately thought, I've never watched it. I've never sought it out, obviously. But I just immediately thought to myself, oh my gosh, I would watch these two on a camping show. They should film like 6 episodes of just that. Like send them out into the wilderness and see what happens, because I think it would be gold all around.
So Carrie, when you say it's not typical, do you mean like just the chemistry sets involved? Because like it's the same format, right? Just to make sure people know what you're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. It's the same format, but just what Tara was saying about how, like, David always gets, like, lippy. I don't know a better word to say it. He always, like, starts poking at the guests and tries to, like, trip them up. But here it's, like, to the extreme where it's, like, you genuinely feel like he does not know what to do with Sam Campbell.
Yes.
And is, like, considering, like, calling the producer in and being, like, what's happening here? And then the thing about Lee, yes, at this point, like, Lee never is the, you know, the subject of this is my. And just so, like, this is just so outside of the norm for these kind of different things to be happening. But at the same time, you're right. Like, there's never any difference between what's happening on the show in general.
All right, Sarah, what are your thoughts about this episode?
I really enjoyed it, but I don't watch the show regularly, and, you know, unless it's a subject herein. So then I have to use sort of out of context canon criteria, like, would I like to watch another one immediately? Which was true. I felt that it was extremely dense, no fat on it, like Carrie said. The way that the callbacks and like various runners were woven in, like, we heard the panel just telling him, like, don't give your address on TV. But then there was a callback later that Sam had some punchline that was like, well, that's private. And then immediately someone said, unlike your address,
right.
Which was very funny. Just the quickness and the sort of almost lizard brain ability of these people, these improv creators, to just be in the moment and respond that quickly is really impressive. And just generally, like, British and larger empire panel shows like this are so much denser than the American equivalent would be, that, and I'm always, like, pleasantly surprised all over again each time at how, even if I don't watch it regularly, I don't have to, it's not relying on inside jokes, and it's not dead air at all. The pigeons, big buildings, the city, businessmen is, like, the best description of cities I ever heard. Like, it's kind of, I mean, it's so simple, but also, like, kind of beautiful. And, like, just that businessmen was tagged in the end. There's something about the construction of that line that was like, that's a wrap. Nobody's describing it better than that. But I really had to sort of wait for the presentation and for other people's comments to see how this fits into the other criteria for canon entry. Like, is this, like, typical but also extra? Like, which kind of canon presentation is this, and am I qualified to comment on it either way? But there were certain, like, line deliveries that I feel were canon worthy just on their own. Like, if we do a tiny canon involving things that people said about Bono that are not true, like Bono being the lead singer of Spandau Ballet. Just, I don't know. I mean, of course, like, it's such a gimme, but it worked. They deliver it really well. So I really enjoyed this, and I'm interested to hear what Dave, a more regular viewer, has to say.
Yeah. This is a really funny episode of this show. This show is usually, like, kind of a background show because there's usually one good guest, and then, like, it sort of connects when they're talking, and then, like, kind of ebbs and flows from there. But Sam Campbell is, like, an all-timer. I know he's only been on the once, but he was so good. And there's something like a comedic equivalent when you're talking to a stranger and suddenly you realize, oh, am I in danger? Like, there's sort of a comedic version of that where you're just like, I don't know what this is, but it's funny, but I don't, maybe, like, wrong with a capital W.
Does anyone
funny.
Know where I am?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is Find My On, because, you know, I'm in a comedy danger moment here. And I think that's sort of like what David was experiencing in this, was just like, I don't know how to proceed with this relationship, because
I'm not on your wavelength at all.
I am not on your wavelength. Like, you're just, like, Zinda do a Jesus, Gary the Pentagon moments there. So that is, like, the magic of this episode for me. And, like, if you haven't watched this Taskmaster season, he brings a lot of the same energy to that. So seek that out. And I'm really glad you brought up Bob Mortimer, who's probably the all-time guest for this show.
man.
If we can get both of those on one, both of those guys on one episode, I wonder what would happen. Like, would it be a bigger fire? Would it be like oil and vinegar? Like, what would the relationship be with those two guys chiming in at the same time? I would be very curious to see what that is. So, Sarah, I know you don't watch a lot. This is much funnier than the baseline Wilty episode. It's never bad, but sometimes it's just kind of lowers itself to like the background level of television watching. But this one keeps your attention the whole thing, which is pretty good for a panel show. Like panel shows are kind of built for casual viewing, but this is an episode that actually commands your attention. I think that's probably kind of worthy for that alone. Never mind all the other good points people are making.
Like I said, whenever there's an intro and they're like, so-and-so from EastEnders, you're like, oh, God, this person is going to suck ass, and they almost always do more. They're a DJ on the... Actually, DJ's bad. DJs are usually good, but, you know.
Footballers, they're always bad.
Footballers are bad, yes. Reality, you saw them on Love Island, like, please no. But anyway.
All right, let's put this to the official vote. Carrie, canon worthy or not?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to say yes, and let's go to a final vote to Sarah.
I trust you guys. It's a yes for me.
All right. That means Would I Lie to You, Series 7, Episode 9. You are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time to discover who is the winner and loser of the week. Tara has this week's winner.
We talked about Peacock earlier. This is a show that is a Peacock original, Mr. Throwback. If you are not a Patreon supporter, you did not hear us talking about this a couple of weeks ago when it premiered. This is the mockumentary with Adam Pally and Steph Curry and Tracy Letts. And that's all I'm going to say because it's getting an NBC airing of its pilot. So if you have NBC but you don't have Peacock, go watch the show. It's so good. We all really enjoyed it. Congratulations to Mr. Throwback. Maybe this will mean it gets to be on Big Boy TV for more than just one episode.
All right, Sarah, who is our loser of the week?
Teresa Giudice. According to former Bachelorette Rachel Lindsay, Teresa mistook Rachel Lindsay for Rihanna. I have like bitchy comment paralysis, but you know, the good news is that I don't have to say anything because, as usual, Teresa, by not just shutting the fuck up, says it all for me. She's bad.
Speaking of not having to say anything, do you know what time it is?
Is it non-regulation game time, Tara?
You are correct.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
It's time for Tube Tunes 14. It's our first Tube Tunes of the year and our last. I'm not doing this again. I think everyone knows how this goes. Dave's going to play a clip from of an original song from TV. If that is all you need to tell me what show the clip is from, you get 3 points. There is an actual prize at stake, and I will get to it. So I want to give you as many pointer-tunities as is reasonable. So if you need a hint, I'll tell you the name of a cast member from the show. Then it's worth 2 points if you get it from that. If you still don't know second cast member, then it's just worth 1 point, but no free guesses. No shows in the game more than once. We have 24 questions and a tiebreaker. We'll forgo steel meals, blah, blah, blah. The stakes are the last place finisher is going to buy the first place finisher a gift valued at no more than $15 themed to one of the songs or shows that the loser missed, and I will note them. And we will tell you what was selected in a future episode. Are you ready to play Tube Tunes 14?
Almost. Let's throw it to Pinky. He's going first.
We will start with valued guest.
All right, so our order is going to be Carrie, Sarah, Dave, and now it's time to play. So let's hear the first clip.
Light the lights, frost the cake, line the presents up so great. Sing the song, smile the smile, today's your day. We're gonna go wild, wild on, tonight we go wild on, tonight we go crazy.
birthday. Oh my god! I drank fucking dog shit! Who put dog shit in the car? Who did it?
It took me a long time to get there, but I think this is from I Think You Should Leave.
Yay! That is good for 3 points. Next, this is for Sarah, clip two.
Philadelphia!
Yeah!
Am I helping you?
Yeah!
Who's your daddy? And by that I mean founding father.
Franklin!
Who, Ben Franklin?
You!
It's no surprise, I'm healthy and wealthy and wise. I've been struck by lightning, anyone can see. A great big storm and a little old kite helped me find the key.
I have some theories, but since I don't get free guesses, I would like a hint, please.
Your first hint is Benjamin Bratt.
I said I wanted a hint. Okay, so this is where I stall.
There's another hint available.
I'm trying to think of what... No, that can't be right. So I will take the second hint, please.
The second hint is Natasha Lyonne.
Oh, damn it. I was right. Poker Face.
Poker Face is correct for 1 point. It's the one with the dinner theater where they're doing knockoff Hamilton. Next is for Dave, clip three.
He sold his soul for a shot at fame. Catchphrase and wig and the jokes are lame. He's got no style, he's got no grace. He's banal and facile, he's a fat waste of space. Yeah, yeah, everybody sing that last line. One, two, three. He's banal and facile, he's a fat waste of space.
That is David Bowie from Extras.
That is correct.
Wow.
Back to Carrie with clip four.
Got a hero. Born with a heart that's a little bigger. Got a hero. Like if Jesus had a sister. A million bad decisions. Life doesn't feel real. But don't cry, mama. Let daughter take the wheel. Cause you gave me life. Now
I don't know it off the top of my head, so let me take a hint.
Your first hint is Paula Pell.
Paula Pell is an actor on the show.
That is correct.
Okay, well then I have to say Girls 5 Eva.
That's correct for 2 points. Mm-hmm. Back to Sarah with clip five.
For a moment, if you please your attention, here's a few things I'd like to mention about the school. Everyone should know. So listen up close, we're about to go into the twilight zone, the outer limits. This is the fifth dimension you're in. First of all, keep your hands on the bus. It's the jungle out there. Safety's a must.
What? What the hell is that?
I just want to remind Sarah, and I've said this in past episodes, I never give her anything I don't know for a fact she has seen.
Sure.
Sarah drinks brown liquor though, and whatever brain cell that was holding that one has perished in a bourbon accident. Could I have a hint, please?
Your first hint is Kristen Datilo.
Kristen Datilo. The kind of Bunkport Datilos. Could I have the second hint, please?
Your second hint is Cheryl Pollock.
Oh, God. Okay. It was that thing.
Yep.
The guy.
That's right.
In the place. And yes. I'll never forget it. It's not the Heights. It was something else, but I can't remember it, so I'm just going to say the Heights.
Hull High.
Oh yeah.
Hull High.
That's a deep cut.
That was a pretty good break, actually.
I don't think you should go back to not getting that.
We watched it. But she did watch it.
I know she watched it. I remember you guys talked about it, but it was one show of a very small little event.
Well, so
if you got it, we all would have been clapping right now, Sarah.
That's true. We would. All right, back to Dave with clip six.
Because I gave you everything, my heart in your hands. And what did you give to me?
know I've seen this, but that does not ring a bell.
Correct, you have.
I remember the song, kinda.
Yep.
Fuck. Yeah, I'm never gonna pull it. Give me a hint.
Okay, your first hint is Ben Aldridge.
Who?
Ben Aldridge.
Can you describe his face for me?
Well, he looks kind of like someone who's a... No.
Ben Aldridge.
I will tell you, I mean, I already said it. He is a man.
Yeah. I mean, the song puts me in mind of a UK production. Ben Aldridge sounds like he might be British.
Do you want the next hint, or do
you
want
to guess? I am thinking! Okay. I'm going through my process, woman!
Hey. I will say I was reminded when I was clipping it, it's a really good song for an original song for a show.
Oh, fuck. I'm just going to go for it. Oh, shit. What was it called? No, I don't know if it's it. So fuck it. It's 1 point. Is this The Gentleman? Nah.
Does anyone know? It's Pennyworth.
Oh, fuck.
That's right. The song that activates everybody.
Right.
It's the cult season.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I knew in my brain I was thinking spy stuff.
Well,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
All right. Back to Carrie with clip number 7.
We're stronger than the hurricane from Piscataway right up to Wayne. New Jersey's gonna be okay, even though Chris Christie floated away.
Stronger. Oh, gosh. Okay, well, I don't know it. I think I know who's singing it, so I feel like I should just take a guess based on that, but I also just want to play it safe, so I'll take
2 points
the
in
hint.
The lead, if that helps you make your decision.
Yeah, let me take a hint right now.
All right, a cast member of the show, not who you heard, is Carol Kane.
Oh, okay. So is this Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
It surely is.
Was that Maya Rudolph singing?
It sure was, playing Dionne Warwick.
Okay, well, I would have guessed Loot or Saturday Night Live, so I'm glad I didn't.
I ate Dionne Warwick.
I would never put Loot in this show. I hope no one is watching it. It fucking rots. All right, back to Sarah, clip 8.
You take a pound of sugar and you add a couple lard. You want Geneva's recipe, it really isn't hard. A couple of bags of flour, the devil's on the shelf. And if you lose a fingernail, well, what the hell? Time to test it so you find yourself a fly. And if the batter sticks, it's time to fry. Throw it in the sack, take 2 steps back. That's how you make the donut hole.
I remember this, and yet I don't. So could I have a hint, please?
Sure. Your first hint is Terrence Mann.
Nope. Hint, please.
Your next hint is Melora Hardin.
Melora Hardin. I'm so happy for both of these people, but I don't know. I know it's not Benson, but I don't know.
It's not. Does anyone else remember what the show was called? Shangri-La Plaza.
Oh, that.
Oh, thing. Yeah. Oh, God. Right.
That thing we watched. All right, back to Dave. Yeah. Clip 9.
Here we go.
When 2 won't do, 3 is a magic number for which I hunger. My belt, I'm looking to add 2 more notches. So how about you chicks come and step into my sexual office?
Okay, I'm going to take a stab at this one too. Is this Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
It certainly is. Back to Carrie for clip 10.
So go ahead and regret me, but I'm not easing up on this fight.
going to take a flyer. I didn't make it this far, but I think this is Daisy Jones in the six.
Oh,
yay!
Nice. It is. Good job. All right, for Sarah, let's hear clip 11.
Felipe, you were old as hell, and you had 11 heart attacks, and you're really bad at calculating the width of ditches, and you drove your station wagon right into heaven, or hell. Probably hell, because you're not that really great of a dude. Kind of a pervert, if we're being honest.
Oh, bless. This one's primo.
Yes, it is! From the Game Champ episode. All right, clip 12 is for Dave, and then we'll have a score break.
There it is, Miss Universe. There she is, looking weird.
I don't know that one. That is Futurama.
Yes, it is. Let us get a score break, please, Sarah.
I am here with 4 points, but the real competition is between Dave with 9 and Carrie in the lead with 10.
Yeah. I've been also keeping score, and I have you at 5, sir.
I have 4 as well.
Okay.
It's 4, trust me. Thank you, though.
I tried. Okay,
let's get back into it. Clip 13.
I was trying to put some meat juice into your veggies.
Let's get back into it. Clip 13 is for Carrie.
I gotta drink my wee-wee, oh no.
What? I should drink my own urine during a snowstorm. There was plenty of water to drink.
Drink my wee-wee, oh no.
I gotta drink it.
Drink it.
Drink it.
I'll drink it. Oh, fuck.
Where's Frank?
Oh, right. Fuck, we gotta, this is serious.
Right, okay.
I do not know. I need the hint.
Well, your first hint is Jeff Hiller.
Oh, God. Somebody somewhere.
Correct for 2 points.
Oh,
back to Sarah, clip 14.
I slugged some jerk in Tahoe. They gave me 1 to 3. My high-priced lawyer sprung me on a technicality. I'm just visiting Springfield Prison. I get to sleep at home tonight.
The Simpsons.
That is correct for 3 points. Back to Dave, clip 15.
Power creators, creep innovators, lighting our wondrous world. Let's all keep dreaming, creep on believing. We are the
Can I listen to that again? I couldn't make out half the things they were saying.
I can help you with lyrics, but yes, of course. Play it again.
Power creators, creep innovators.
I got it. All right, now I can understand. Power creators. Is that... Fuck, what's it called? Is that Monsters at Work?
Yes! Good job.
Nice!
Okay, back to Carrie, clip 16.
Why are you out here competing? Why is that hairline receding? Why'd you eat a
You want to hear that again?
Yes, please.
Why are you out here competing? Why is that hairline receding? Why'd you eat a
Oh, I need the hint.
Your first hint is Natasha Demetriou.
Okay, so I don't think you're going to throw... I can't even remember the name of it, really. Stathlets Flats at me. So this has got to be What We Do in the Shadows.
It does. It's an all-vampire freestyle rap battle from the
okay.
For Sarah, clip 17. The Spread Eagle.
Get well soon. We wish you to get well.
Stop it!
Could I hear that again, please?
Get well soon. We wish you to get well.
Nope, I need a hint.
Your first hint, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Okay, thank you for miming clapping, Dave. I'm going to take the second hint, because not sure.
Okay, your second hint is Jason Alexander.
Ah, Seinfeld, then.
That's correct.
That was me clapping at the birthday party. That's the too much cake at the get work for yes. every birthday.
It's the one where she eats all the wedding cake from Peter Miss Fridge. Okay, back to Dave, clip 18.
2, 3, 4!
Tara Ariano.
Yeah.
Is that the Venture Brothers?
Yes, it is, for 3 points. Back to Carrie. Carrie, I like your odds with this one. Clip 19.
I've looked around this whole wide world, searching for someone to call my girl. But they weren't right, and I have to agree. There's no one I love more than me. My nut brown hair, my beautiful eyes. I'd like to caress my own milky thighs. Never again will I be left on the shelf. I've fallen in love with myself.
Ah! Oh my gosh. You think I should know this? Yeah.
I wasn't trying to jinx you. I really thought you would have it.
I mean, I feel like I should, and I have something that I want to say, but I gotta play it safe and take the hint.
Well, one person who's on this show is Katie Wicks.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes! Ugh. This is from Taskmaster, when they have to serenade themselves. Oh,
correct. Geez.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Who was that, Ed?
That was Ed.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right. Heavy metal guy. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, back to Sarah, clip 20.
Which of the Pickwick triplets did it? Who of the crew would commit this crime? My little brat make a body go splat.
It's a story pretty gory for a nursery rhyme.
Which of the Pickwick triplets did it? Which of the Spawn had the brawn to kill? Will a baby get tried for that trust side? Coo-choo-coo-choo-coo. Time for you or you or you to admit it. So quick as a whip, gotta pick which Pickwick triplet did it.
Fucking brilliant. Only Murders in the Building.
Correct. For Dave, and then we'll get another score break. Clip 21.
I don't like windows when they're closed. I want to fly where the wild wind blows. Trees and bees and big rainbows. No, I don't like windows when they're closed.
She don't like windows when they're closed.
Let's listen to that again.
I don't like windows when they're closed. I want to fly where the wild wind blows. Trees and bees and big rainbows. No, I don't like windows when they're closed.
She don't like windows when they're closed.
I can eat it.
Your first hint is Jacob Anderson.
Oh, fuck. That is Interview with the Vampire.
Correct. For 2 points. It's Claudia in
yeah,
the stage show.
I got it. Wow. Yeah.
All right, let's get some scores.
All right, score time, Sarah.
I am ready, and I have 11. Slightly closer. Equally close at the top as we enter the home stretch. Carrie has 16, Dave has 17.
Oh, yeah. You each have one question left. Holy shit. It all comes down to this. Clip 22 is for Carrie.
Flying high.
For Pete's sake. Will you play it again, please?
Flying high to live another wonder. Now I touch the sky.
I need the hint.
It's a pretty good hint. Your first hint is Keegan-Michael Key.
Is it Key and Peele?
Yes, it's Key and Peele. Okay. Do you want to guess who your second hint was? Good for 2 points.
Do I get a point for it?
This one, clip 23, is for Sarah D. Bunting.
Hey, Gord, I've known since I was 6. In grade, he broke his leg, so we got drunk and sick. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
I forgot the kinky little drum. Kids in the Hall.
That is correct. Apparently, we've never used this one before, according to my records. So
that was the bane of my existence for about a year and a half.
I bet.
I was pretty sure Sarah would know this one, even though I wasn't positive she had seen this episode because she had two Davids in her family in the 90s. So.
You have to know.
Yeah, we're up to like 6 now. Nightmare.
Right. All right.
Every time you turn around, more Daves.
All right, this last clip is for, hey, we just were mentioning him, Dave.
You know, JoJo, when life keeps handing you anchovies, just cover them up with some extra cheese and make a pizza.
That sounds like 30 Rock to me.
It, in fact, is 30 Rock, and that is the end of regulation play, or rather non-regulation play. Let's get the final scores.
Well, this turned out less embarrassingly for me than it could have, slash usually does. I had 14, Carrie had 18, and Dave is the big wiener with 20. So yay! I guess I have to buy Dave something?
That's correct.
Please remind me what shows I missed.
Oh, I forgot to mark those, but I will go back and check. Seinfeld you got. You got Hull Simpsons. High. You missed Shangri-La Plaza. That was the donut song. Hull High, you missed that. That was the school song if you want to get him something for back to school.
I am low in halls.
All right. Yeah, good.
All right, do we want to play?
You're getting a boat.
There is a tiebreaker, but I'm pretty sure everyone's going to get it, so we can play it or not.
First of show wins everything.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The ladybugs came to the ladybugs picnic. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and they all played games at the ladybugs picnic.
The boys!
I wish.
I have no idea what this is.
Well, good thing this wasn't regulation play. That's from Sesame Street.
Oh, okay. All right.
We could just cut that.
Oh. No, we're going to leave it in. Anywhere. Let it be a mark on your record.
Come on, the boys was pretty
good.
Yeah,
pretty good. Sarah, let's
give me something. Let's accept the boys.
Give me a Tara point.
She gets a carry point.
Dave.
Well, thank you, Tara. Another fun tube tunes.
Yeah,
see
thanks,
you
Tara.
Perhaps in 2025.
Definitely that not is before.
What?
Sorry.
What? What was that?
Said definitely not before.
I know. That's why you said that earlier. It was a callback to it. You're right. Yeah, all right. Great. Sorry. Thank you. Cut that out. That's what we're going to do. Well, that is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great, Tara. Anything to add?
No.
We talked to each other about the Anonymous from our underground podcast bunkers before going around the dial with stops at Taskmaster New Zealand, Guy Montgomery's Guy Mont Spelling Bee, and Homicide Life on the Streets. Tara got the UK panel show What I Lie to You in the canon. We crowned winners and losers of the week. And David D. Cole, that's me, was the winner of this week's Game Time from Tara. Next up, Dracula, blah, but not that Dracula, unfortunately. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David Tickle, and on behalf of Tara Ariano.
Nice to be involved, isn't it?
Sarah D. Bunting.
It's actually Life on the Street singular, so don't at me. My real thing is, we could have dinner.
And Carrie Race.
I was never here. I'm a ghost.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you next time, right here on Extra Hot Crate.
That noise signals time is up. It's the end of the show.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.